Hello, my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me is my colleague, Pastor Caden. How are you going, Pastor Caden?
Yeah, I'm going good. It's so good to be here, Emily. Really looking forward to our discussion.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And unfortunately, Naomi couldn't join us this evening, but we have Pastor Caden. And Pastor Caden, you actually, I think you gave us some of the inspiration. You helped us brainstorm our name, Eden to Eternity, last year. So,
oh, yeah, I can't take too much credit, but we definitely brainstormed it together. Really appreciate what you and Naomi are doing. And I'll try to live up to Naomi. But, I don't think I'll be able to achieve it. But at least hopefully we'll pray for her to be able to come back next time.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So we've had quite a busy week, actually. What was your highlight, do you think, Pastor Caden, of your week?
Yeah, my highlight was we had this week. Might be your highlight too, but we had a plant-based dinner with the doctor.
Yes. And yes, that was great.
We had Dr. Rachel Coelho at our local church at here in Adelaide, Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Church, on the Sunday evening. And it was just fantastic to have a plant-based meal served at tables and have Dr. Rachel share some beautiful points about health, nutrition, herbs. She's just got such a wealth of knowledge, being a GP, but also trained in many other areas as well. I can't remember them all.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to be able to just to be able to talk to her. And she's a GP and a nutritionist and a herbalist and a lifestyle medicine practitioner.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
Such incredible knowledge. And she just has such a niche area where she's just so knowledgeable in a wide range of areas that are so relevant to our health and well-being. And it was just so wonderful to have her. And I know the people, the hall was packed. We just had so many people. Yeah. I think we had over 70 people or something booked in. The hall was packed. And, people were engaged with her and asking so many questions there at the end. The questions just keep coming because how often do you get a chance to ask a doctor questions, without an appointment for free? You know,
exactly.
You can just you know, that was just fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I know it was so great. And yeah, Dr. Rachel, she's just such a lovely person as well. And to be able to chat with her and to have someone that actually generally cares about your health.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing. So yes, that is probably one of my highlights as well from this week. And I also want to give a shout out to some of our Faith FM listeners that were there. We had Darren and Josie and Sue. And we had John and his wife. We met them for the first time. That was great. And yes, there was many, many others as well.
Yeah, it's great to have those of you who are listening come to some of these events. And it's just great. I know when I was speaking to some of the people who came for the first time, they're like, "Oh, so it's good to put a face to the voice on the radio." And likewise for us, it's good to put the faces of the people we're talking to because we don't know really who the people are listening, but it's so nice to be able to meet people and chat. And so, yeah, we encourage you, if you hear events talked about on Faith FM, yeah, please come in and we just love to meet you all.
Yeah, it was so great, especially here. So we are from Adelaide. We are here live in Adelaide. And so, yeah, it was great to meet some of our Faith FM listeners from Adelaide.
Mm.
Now, we've had quite an interesting week here on Drive Time. It's been all about Israel, contemporary Israel, and discussing the prophecies that the Bible makes and how that is relevant to what's actually going on in Israel. So I know it's really been very enlightening for many of us. including myself. And we've got a real special program for you this evening. And we're actually going to share on one of the most beautiful promises that God actually gives us. But there are many, many promises in the Bible. And some of them, you know, they're so, so personal. And I know one of my favorite promises is actually the promise that God gives us that he sends his angels to be with us. And one of these verses I want to read is found in Psalm chapter 91. And Pastor Caden, if you have a favorite promise, we would love to hear yours as well. So this is Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. And it says, "For he will give his angels charge over you. They will keep you in all their ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." So it's just talking about how the angels are there around you to protect you. And God cares about us so much that he sends each one of us a guardian angel. And that is a promise, definitely. And I know there's many times that I could have died if it were not for the angels stopping, you know, some of those things from happening. So what about you, Pastor Caden? What's your favorite promise?
Oh, look, it's so hard to choose one. I'll choose one chapter. That's Psalm 34. This may be my favorite chapter of scripture, but there's a few good gems here in Psalm 34. It's a Psalm of David, of course. And, you know, one says the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him. Mm. You know, how we each have an angel looking after us. And then next verse says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Encouragement for us. And there's just so many here. I'll just choose verse 19. It says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Just the fact that we're going to have problems and trials, we're going to have ups and downs, but God is with us, and he's promised here to deliver us from them all. And it really follows on from verse 17, where it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them." And, you know, just having that assurance, that promise that God's will not allow us to go through something we cannot bear, and he'll provide a way of escape, and he will be there to help us along the way and carry us through if need be.
That's so true. And we've got so many stories in the Bible where those promises have been put to the test, tested and proven that God is there with us, even though, you know, so many of the people in the Bible went through very, very difficult times, but God always brought them through when they depended on him and asked for his help. And so even today, listeners, that can be your story as well, to depend on God, to put these promises into practice in your life, to claim them over your own life. And we have something that we want to give to you, listeners, and it's free, a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners. And today, it's actually a study guide. So usually we give away books, but this one is a study guide. And so if you've been really enjoying what we've been talking about today and all this week here on Drive Time, you definitely want to get this free giveaway, this free study guide, which is Secrets of the Future. And this has been designed and written by Neil Schofield. And it answers these questions. Have you ever wondered why hatred, violence, and evil exist? Who or what is responsible for it? Did God create a devil? Or is Howard Bloom correct when he argues that evil is just part of the evolutionary plan? If God is so good, then why does the world seem so bad? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is there need for sin, pain, and suffering at all? This planet is right in the heart of a war zone. What on earth is going on? The ancient nature religions saw their world in two halves, good and evil, light and dark, life and death, masculine and feminine. Their gods and goddesses would maintain global harmony through keeping the balance of power between the two forces. The East has yin and yang, two opposing but complementary and independent forces. According to the Barna Research Group, Western society is also embracing the darker side. The practices of Wicca, magic, sorcery, and spellcasting are growing quickly throughout the United States, particularly among younger people. And the National Census research indicates that the nature religions, like pagan and pantheistic, are among the fastest growing religions in countries like Australia. Is it safe to desire a balance between good and evil? Should our spirituality include some association with darkness? Is the devil real? If so, is he dangerous? And so this study guide, along with the companion lesson, Does God Care?, delves into the mysterious subject of good versus evil. And so in this study guide, you're going to be able to see behind the scenes of this cosmic conflict that has raged for thousands of years. And so the focus really of this lesson is the origin of evil. Where did evil come from? And so, friends, if you want this giveaway, which I would highly encourage that you get, you want to text in to this number, 0488 808 11, and the code you want to text is SA343. So no spaces in there, just SA, which stands for South Australia. So SA343, and you want to text that to 0488 808 11, and this is to get your free giveaway, free study guide, Secrets of the Future by Neil Schofield. And I know you'll be very blessed going through that study yourself. And so, listeners, before we go into our topic for tonight, we want to play a song for you, I Need Thee Every Hour by Lindsay Morton.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Every hour in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. Oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Emily and Pastor Caden. And tonight we have our special Friday night program, Eden to eternity. And we are continuing with our topic for this week, which we've been looking about contemporary Israel and ancient prophecies. Is there a link? And so this week, our hosts have covered the topics such as what makes a person a biblical Israelite, or who has inherited the promise to Israel today, and even will the temple in Jerusalem be rebuilt? And so if you've missed any of these, you want to go onto the Faith FM app or even the website and go to browse, go to Drive Time, and you'll see the podcasts from this week, and you can listen to those. But we're going to have a very, I guess it's a little bit of a different one tonight. And some people have, you know, thought that when the Bible talks about like the New Jerusalem, that this means that there's going to be a physical building here on the temple in Israel that's going to be built. And that's what the Bible is talking about. That's what they might think. But we've got many examples in the Bible that there may be something physical, but there's actually a deeper symbolic meaning behind it. Take the sanctuary, for instance. This was something that God gave, a physical representation of the plan of salvation. And so that was pointing to how Jesus would come and die for us all. And so the people of Israel, they would have to sacrifice a lamb, and that would symbolize. It was symbolic. It wasn't that that lamb actually, you know, forgave them for their sins. And so Jesus, when he was on this earth, he also said that if you destroy this temple, then he will rebuild it in 3 days. But he was not talking about the actual temple, wasn't he?
No.
He was talking about himself. And so we've got other verses that talk about, like, our bodies are a temple. And so tonight we want to look at, well, what is the New Jerusalem, Pastor Caden? What does the Bible say about what the New Jerusalem is?
Yeah, yeah, because it's very important that we understand what the Bible is speaking about this, because the Bible says this is going to be our home and our rewards for accepting Jesus. You might remember Jesus said he's going to go and prepare a place for us. And so this is all linking in with that promise from Jesus. Let's just start by looking at Hebrews chapter 12 here, where Paul's sort of making connections with Israel and the type that was signified through Israel and their experiences to the future and to what we call the anti-type, which is what it's representing in the future fulfillments. And so if we look at Hebrews 12 there, it says in verse 18, Paul tells the church, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire to darkness, gloom, and storm." Really here, Paul, in this verse here, he's talking about Israel's experience in the past when they went to Mount Sinai and when Moses went on top of the mountain to meet God and to receive God's law, the testimony.
Okay.
And so he's saying here in this verse 18, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm." In other words, he's saying that you have not come to a literal mountain or like ancient Israel did. And so what he confirms later on here is that instead of a literal mountain which can be touched, the church has come to a different kind of mountain. And if you go to verse 22 here, he says to the church, "You have come to Mount Zion." So in Old Testament times, Mount Zion, people knew what that meant. If you read Old Testament, It says we're going to Mount Zion.
What did that mean?
And that means they're going to the temple mountain, because the temple was built on a mountain. It had other names, but one of the names it had was Mount Zion, and it was the actual place where the temple stood, and this is the focal point of Israel's worship. This was the pinnacle of their worship. They would go to this temple mount, Mount Zion, and as you mentioned before, with the tabernacle, the sanctuary, the temple, all the same thing, this is where the sacrifices were offered before Jesus came and offered his sacrifice once and for all. So these sacrifices were types representing, pointing forwards to the anti-type, that is the sacrifice Jesus would make ultimately for all people who accept him. And so they pointed to Jesus. So what is Paul saying here in this passage here? Does this mean that all Christians today must go to Israel and stand on the Temple Mount? Well, we know if you do that today, there's no temple there.
Oh, what's there?
Well, the temple's been destroyed. It was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, as Jesus prophesied. If you go there today, there's a Muslim shrine, the Dome of the Rock, and so it's.
So you wouldn't be able to find a temple.
You won't find a Christian temple.
Yeah.
Let's just say that there. And so, what is Paul saying here? Well, it's obviously not literal Mount Zion today, where we need to go and offer literal sacrifices and worship God. And so what he does is he then tells us in this chapter what he means and the answer. And this is in verses 22 to 24 of Hebrews 12. He says here, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the city of the living God." So here he's saying, no, not the earthly one.
So there's a key word there.
There's a key word, isn't it? Heavenly Jerusalem. He says this here, the city of the living God. This is God's city. And then he says, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. So again, it's repeated heaven. And he says, you have come to God, to Jesus. And so again and again here, he's using the type, of the past and how that pointed to the fulfillment. And in this case, Mount Zion and Jerusalem, which, do you know what Jerusalem means?
No, tell us.
It means city of peace.
And
you know, it points to the heavenly city of peace that is going to be our ultimate inheritance. And so we're going to get into this in our study here and talk about what is this heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible calls it the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. This is the city that God is preparing for those who love him.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be looking at this tonight in our study, and we're going to be going through, you know, what is this then? If this is not literal Jerusalem today, you know, has God told us any details about what this heavenly Jerusalem is?
And I'm interested to also, like, ask, because obviously there was that city, you know, like in the center of Israel was Jerusalem, you know, back in the day. And so did God, like, have a special plan for that? You know, did he want it to be a place of peace even on this earth?
Well, he certainly did. He says in places in the Old Testament, like Isaiah, that it was to be a light to the Gentiles. Because you see, the location of Jerusalem was very strategic, I guess, from God, because it was there in a fertile place there, but also it was a massive trade route where people would come from lower, they'd come from south, up through Egypt and Africa, and they'll come, and it was the access point to get up to the north, Europe and many of the trade places up there. And so many people would actually have to travel through Jerusalem, or that region, to get from north to south. And so God put his city of peace here so that people who would come to it, they would come to a realization, about the true God, the God of love, the God of peace.
And I guess what we need to understand is that ultimately God wants to put an end to all sin and suffering, like what I was reading in our study guide that we're giving away for our, all our listeners, God wants to put an end to this. And so that's why God wanted, I guess, for Jerusalem to be a place so that everyone could hear about him, so that then he could get rid of sin. And it says even in Matthew chapter 24 that the gospel will be preached in all the world for a witness to show who God really is, and then the end will come and he can put an end to, you know, all the horrible things that are going on in this world. And so, yeah, let's have a look at, well, what is it? Like, what is, how is God going to put an end to this, and what is it going to be like?
Yes. So to do this, we need to go to the last two chapters of Scripture. And this is where we're given a sneak peek. Okay, this is, it's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture.
Yeah.
Of course, and we can, there's many places in Scripture where it talks about this time of the New Jerusalem and eternity. But here in Revelation, the last two chapters here in Revelation 21 and 22, we're given the sneak peek, the curtains drawn aside, where we're given a bit of a glimpse. And you know what I really appreciate about the Bible is that it's bookends by eternity. You got the first two chapters of the Bible that is before sin, when everything was perfect, and then the last two chapters of the Bible in Revelation is again perfection restored. Sin's gone. It's finished, and this is the promise that God has for those who love Him. And so, as you get to the end of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, the whole great controversy between Christ and Satan, it's finished. Sin is dealt with. And sin and sinners are no more, and never again will sin arise to disrupt the harmony of eternity.
Sounds
the Bible's
amazing.
The Bible says that people have learnt from this, and so they've seen the horrific consequences of sin, and that's why God's allowed it to play out. Because sometimes, you know, people need to see something before they understand how the effects of it. And so that's why this is all playing out here, so that it can be absolutely sure that sin will not arise a second time, and so there'll be no more of this sin, pain, suffering, death, disease, and the whole lot of it. And so now God is showing John here, the Apostle John, who wrote Revelation. He's pulling aside the curtain to the new heavens and the new earth, in which the Bible says righteousness dwells. And these are the last two chapters of Revelation 21 and 22. If you have your Bibles, or you have a Bible at home, I encourage you to go read it, and read these. They're easy to read, 21 and 22. Beautiful descriptions and promises here, but it's a preview of the glories of the new earth, and it's a little appetizer that God's given us on this. Now, God hasn't given us all the details. As I said, it's just a little curtain aside, you know, a little glimpse. So not all the details are here, but we can get a taste.
Mm. And this is John writing, isn't it? So he was taken there, like in a vision, I guess the angel took him, and so this is what he's seeing. And
yes,
he's trying to describe it, I guess, the best way he can.
Yes, and we have to remember, going back to Paul, he quoted Isaiah about this, and he said this: "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." So, even though we're given this glimpse, this is not even anything of how it would be like, you know, the real thing. Eye has not seen, you know, no one has heard what this will truly be like. It's going to be absolutely wonderful, but we've given these beautiful glimpses here. The Bible says in Revelation 21, it says, John wrote, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Now, this here is not talking about the heaven, the place of God, where God lives. According to scripture, there's three heavens.
Okay.
So there's the heavens the birds fly in. So the atmosphere. That's sort of the heavens God made in the beginning in creation week. God made the heavens and the earth type thing. That's our atmosphere, and that's the sky, and that's that dome that covers and protects the earth. That's the first heaven. Then we've got the second heaven, which is outer space. And then there's the third heaven Paul talks about that is, you know, the home of God. But anyway, here it says, John saw a new heaven, new earth. This is talking about the earth and its atmosphere. And it says it passed away. Also, it says there was no more sea next. And, you know,
What does that mean?
Well, there's not going to be any oceans. When you look at Earth from outer space today, you see mostly water because it's mostly water.
Yeah, true.
However, that wasn't always the case. When God created this Earth, it wasn't like that. It was there was certainly rivers and waterways and lakes and stuff, but that only came in when the flood came and filled up the earth with all this water, and things changed quite drastically when the flood actually came. And so since the flood, there's a lot more water. However, here it's going back to the original, back to the beginning. There's still going to be rivers. There's still going to be lakes. We know that. We know Revelation says there's going to be rivers. But there's not going to be vast oceans. Okay. No more sea. And then get this. John says, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. This is now the heaven, the God's home, the third heaven, what Paul says, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Again, this is picking up the Old Testament symbolism, where the church or the people of God are called his bride. This is, of course, picked up in the New Testament again. Here we have this is a wedding gift to God's people.
Wow.
And it says here it's prepared as a bride for a husband, and it's literally coming from heaven. And so what we have here is a scene of this new Jerusalem coming down. It's going to rest on the new earth that God has made. And it says here, John said, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their gods. And, you know, this is literally God transferring the headquarters of his universe from heaven to the new earth. And so what we're seeing here is earth is now being set up as God's headquarters, his HQ. And so it's like this is just incredible to think, well, earth today is just a big mess. But this is just another example of the incredible mercy and grace of God, that he would relocate his capital to here. And now this tabernacle of God is with men, and it says he will dwell with them. He will be with his people. This is going to be his home here. And so then he has this beautiful promise, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Wow. I love that.
This is it. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so, yeah, God's going to wipe away those tears at this point in time. There's not going to be, from this point in time, there's not going to be any more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. That's it. This is the future that we've been promised.
Wow. So wonderful. I think this is a wonderful place to stop and just to reflect on this as we hear a beautiful song, which is called Peace at Last.
Let not your heart be troubled, Let not your soul be sad. There's a better day a-coming, children. There will be peace at last. Oh,
the Nellens, and that's such a beautiful song that's bringing us forward to the time when Jesus will come again and there will be a new earth, new city, and it's going to be so amazing that sin and suffering will be no more. And so here tonight on Eden to Eternity, we have been talking about this amazing promise that God has for us. And I know the verse that really stood out to me as we were going through Revelation chapter 21 was Revelation 21 verse 4, and it says, "And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So friends, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Emily and Pastor Caden. And we want to go even more to what is it going to be like? What's the new earth? What's the new Jerusalem actually going to be like? So what does the Bible tell us, Pastor Caden?
Yeah, it then goes on to give us a number of details about what this new Jerusalem will be like. And it talks about its size, firstly. It says this city is laid out as a square, and it tells us in Revelation 21:16, its length is as great as its breadth. And we actually are given the measurements.
Really?
Yeah, wow. for this city, and it's measured in furlongs. And if we convert that to kilometres here, we're actually told that the city will be 2,400 approximately kilometres on each side. And so that's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing.
And so, that is 2,400,000 kilometres. So that's its perimeter, and then its sides are 603 kilometres. And we think of travel here in Australia. That is a big city. That's the size of maybe a couple of our states, really.
Pretty decent, yeah.
And so, yeah, many people ask, how can all God's people fit in just one city? This is not just any city. This is a monster of a city. In fact, they've done the maths, and they've actually found that if each person who inherits this is given, say, 100 square feet of personal ground space, they say there would be room for 39 billion people in this city. And so that's, we only have 8 billion people alive today. Of course, there's been many generations before. Just doing some quick maths, there's plenty of room. Mm. And we have to remember the New Jerusalem is just one home we will have. The Bible also talks about how we'll have country retreats and how we're also going to have our country home as well, which we can make and establish gardens. And so, but the Bible says that we will go to Mount Zion every Sabbath and every month to go and worship him. And so we're going to, this is not going to be, this is just going to be, one of the places, but this is a special gift that God's given his people. And so we don't need to worry if there's room for us, because there's going to be plenty of room.
Yeah, and we're not going to be like sitting around doing nothing either.
No. Yeah. We're going to go into that. But yeah, we're not going to be sitting around doing nothing or just sitting around on clouds playing harp all day long.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't mind learning how to play the harp,
Well, I'm sure you can do that too.
Yeah. So this city, it's a square. It has those dimensions there, about 603 kilometres each side. But it has walls, the Bible says. And it says that in Revelation 21, it says an angel measured the wall. It was actually 65 approximately metres high, the wall. And the wall was made of solid jasper, the Bible says, and it's just glowing with a beautiful beauty. And so in today's terms, this would be about 20 stories high of solid jasper, just the walls alone. It also says within the walls it has gates, 12 gates, three on each side of that square here. And you might be listening and you think, 12 is a big number in Scripture. It represents the completeness of God's people. And it says in Revelation that, there's going to be 12 gates, three on the north side, three on the east side, three on the south side, three on the west side, and that these gates are made of pearls. And so each gate is a pearl.
Wow.
And that is, if you look at those dimensions there, that's a monster pearl.
Wow. Yeah.
Just beautiful here. And this is, when the Bible says, eye has not seen, You know, true. This is what yeah. God is talking about here. And then it talks about the wall of the city. It has 12 foundations, Revelation 21 says there. And it talks about all the beautiful, precious minerals that is just going to be, this city's going to be adorned with. And so every color of the rainbow is represented in these minerals. It's going to be, you know, like a big shining rainbow, just a beautiful sight. And so when you're looking at the city from a distance, it's going to be glowing and glistening like a rainbow with all these beautiful stones. The Bible lists them here, sapphire, jasper, emeralds, turquoise, topaz, yeah, heaps of them. And so it's just going to be stunning. But then get this. I don't know if you like our streets here in Adelaide, Emily. The surface can get a bit rough and tough at times.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And I know I've traveled around Australia and, you know, some places are better than others. But we're not going to have that problem here in this city, because the streets of the city, the Bible says, are going to be pure gold.
Wow.
Pure gold. Can you imagine pure gold streets? In fact, the Bible says that it's so pure that it's transparent like glass. It's just so pure. It's like transparent glass. Streets wow. of gold.
And even these days, we would not even think to put something so valuable as gold and walk over it, right? But here, there's going to be so much of it.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be, wow.
Yeah, amazing. That's right. And we've got to remember, this was originally what God wanted for his people. These precious minerals and gems and all that, they weren't originally buried under the grounds, hidden away. The Bible says that before the flood, these were on the surface of the planets, and they were around for everyone to see, and God gave them to us. But then, when humanity sinned and rebelled against God, and got to the point where God offered them salvation and they rejected it, and they chose to not get in his boats, he sent the flood, which completely turned everything upside down. And so since the flood, all of those minerals and precious things are under the earth, because the earth got completely upheaved, and now we have to dig and work hard for them. But it was never originally the case, and it's not going to be the case in the earth made new. And so when the Bible says in Revelation that this city will be a bride adorned for her husband, you know, it's talking about how it's just beautiful. It's beautifully dressed, and it's just going to be absolutely stunning. We just can't imagine it, and we can't have an artistic depiction of it that will do it justice. But what I love is then it tells us that in the middle of the city, in the middle of its streets, the Bible says in Revelation 22, it says that there'll be a river flowing through this, and it says on either side of the river is the tree of life. And so there's going to be a river flowing through. Revelation says it's going to flow from the throne of God. And this river will be flowing through, and the tree of life will be there. And it says it will bear 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruits every month. And so there's going to be like a fruit every month. This is the same as in the Garden of Eden, when there was also a tree of life, where Adam and Eve also ate of the tree. And this is what gives them the immortality. Because the Bible says God alone has immortality. But we can put on immortality by taking his fruits. And so when Isaiah says that every Sabbath, we will go here, and every month is to have, you know, the fruits of the tree of life. That we're going to eat, that will allow us to be immortal. You might remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they rejected God and chose to disobey him, God had to direct them out of the garden and get angels to guard there, to guard them away from the tree of life, because the tree of life gives them that fruit to have immortality. And God did not want sin to be immortalized, and so he had to remove them. But now sin's gone, everything's been restored, and the tree of life is back.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And I know, listeners, if, as you're hearing this beautiful description, we just long for this to happen very, very soon.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us that the second coming, when Jesus comes again, this will be the start of when sin is eradicated. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And so this is what we are looking forward to, that Jesus will come and he will take us with him, that we'll always be with him, and he will recreate this earth then.
Yeah, and just in case if people haven't tuned into the other programs this week and heard the backstory to this, the verse you've mentioned there where it talks about the second coming when Jesus comes back, where we go up to meet him in the air. Jesus doesn't come and set foot on the ground. We meet him in the air, and that's when he takes us to heaven. And the Bible says we're going to be in heaven for 1,000 years. And then at the end of those 1,000 years, then God's going to recreate the earth new, and we're going to come back with him to this new earth, and he's going to bring down the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, at that time, at the end of the 1,000 years. And so that's, if you've missed it, go back and listen to it. But that's the sequence